Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Friday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on early break. Hour 2 is always sponsored by our friends at Midwest Bank. Member
FDIC.
Location in South Lincoln at 27th and Jamie Lane, also at 70th and Pioneers. And is it Steve Sterling today?
It's Steve Sterling, and we have a very important guest coming on from Iowa. So we're going to buzz this. Now, we've got six games. A couple of Fridays, then some Saturdays, and then a super bonus game. So today, Shin Daddy, Ole Miss favored by 7.5 over Mississippi State. He likes Ole Miss. He likes the lane train and the points to cover.
Okay.
Ohio at Buffalo. Ohio 6.5 point favors. He likes, again, he likes the Bobcats, the former Frank, the Fighting Soliches, to cover at 6.5. Saturday, he loves Delaware at 6.5 point favorites versus UTEP. He loves Delaware. He loves Delaware versus UTEP, 6.5. Wisconsin at Minnesota. Minnesota favored by 2.5.
Okay.
Go Badgers. Go Badgers.
The hot streak continues.
Okay. At Minnesota. Getting it for the Axe to get that back. Yep. That. Bonus games. Army at UTSA. Army at UTSA. UTSA, 6.5 point favorites. Take UTSA. They're at home. They roll at home. Another one here. Wyoming at Hawaii. Hawaii, 10.5 favorites. Take Hawaii to cover. Take Hawaii to cover, 10.5. And here's the one right now. If you want to get for free the Nebraska-Iowa game, for free, just Iowa at 4.5, right? Is that same there or 5.5?
Five and a half right now.
If you want to know, if you want to get that, text Jeff Essex at 402-310-4026. And that's Jeff. At 402-310-4026, and he will give you free his pick for the game today.
Really?
Yes. That and you can talk fitness with him also at the same time. So for your free pick, again, call Jeff at Farrell's Extreme Fitness, 402-310-4026 for the free pick.
Thank you to Shin Daddy, Steve Sterling, for giving us his picks and for sponsoring Hour 2. We are joined on the phone by the Iowa Hawkeye insider, David Eicholt, 24/7 Sports. Good morning, David. I am curious, how many Iowa fans know firsthand, David, that the Hawkeyes have won six straight games in Lincoln? Is that well known in the Iowa fan base or not?
Yeah, I think it is now because CBS's Chris Hassel tweeted out at the beginning of the week, and it really is mind-blowing. You guys correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't it the longest winning streak by an away team since like 1970? In Memorial Stadium.
I don't know who else it would be.
I don't know who else it would be.
So probably the case.
We're going to count that as fact.
Pretty safe bet.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Combine that with all of the walk-off field goals and just how weird this series is. Like, it just makes it that much more strange that it's actually a thing. Because this is, without a doubt, the strangest rivalry in the Big Ten with just how it is every single year.
So you are calling it a rivalry. There's always some people that, David, that would say, no, it's not. You're in the rivalry camp.
You know, 10 years ago when they first started it, I didn't think so. I thought it was very manufactured. I thought it was very fake. And I remember talking to, you know, Sean Callahan and a few people. I said, the only way Nebraska and Iowa is going to buy this in as a real rivalry is if Iowa goes out there and beats Nebraska like 10 straight times. Because now
they only did it nine.
Nine of ten.
So not quite a rival.
So close, Iowa.
I feel like the animosity continues just to amplify significantly because Iowa wins. And I also think that it's amplified, not that Iowa's going out there and kicking the crap out of Nebraska. It is in the most gut-wrenching, psychologically mess-you-up type fashion every single year that I really think it's accelerated this rivalry. I do think there's a lot of hatred there now, and I think it's a lot. I think it's good for both programs. I think it's a lot of fun, but yeah, 10 years ago, I did not think this was a rivalry at all. I thought they were forcing something that shouldn't be there, but it really does feel like an authentic rivalry now, guys. I don't see how it's not. Just look at the way the fan bases banter. Look at the kind of hatred between the teams. Look at the no handshake last year. Look at the animosity. This goes back now, I feel like. There's history to this now.
Who wins the hate battle? Who hates the other one more? I feel like it's Iowa. I always feel like Iowa hates Nebraska much more.
You know, I really don't know. I think it's Nebraska, but Iowa's right there. Okay. Like, I really do, because I can tell you, I know Iowa fans hate Nebraska, but I think they also hate Iowa State more.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's where I'm a little bit conflicted.
Okay.
Just because the in-state rivalry, and Nebraska obviously has no in-state rival. Wow. So I think they kind of adopted Iowa as kind of that quote-unquote in-state rival, because we all fight over, you know, who gets Council Bluffs for the year. Instead of Heroes Trophy, it's, hey, who has to claim Council Bluffs for a year? That's how you ramp up the competition here. Kind of
feels like Council Bluffs just got brought into the conversation.
I'm down with that.
That's love fair. It.
Love this.
I okay love that.
Joined by David Eichel, 24/7 Sports.
Oh, David, job, David.
Regarding this year's team now, you mentioned all these weird games against Nebraska, but Iowa has lost, lasting a field goal to Oregon. The USC game was a rough loss at the end. Iowa State, the same thing. Four really, really tight, close losses. The games they have won in the past because, you know, of these win close games. What's the fan base reaction so far to the 7-4 season so far?
I mean, I think it's a what-if season, yeah, right? And it's interesting because I think you look back at what Kirk Ferentz said at Big Ten Media Day. He compared this team to 2008. Well, Iowa went 8-4 in 2008, and they lost four games by a combined 12 points. Iowa's lost four games by a combined 15 points. And the interesting thing, outside of USC, guys, the USC loss, against Iowa State, Oregon, and Indiana, Iowa was either tied or had the lead inside the final 2 minutes. Right, and I also think you look at Mark Gronowski got hurt in the final 10 minutes against Indiana. I'm of the camp that Iowa would have had a legitimate shot at knocking off Indiana in that game just based on the way the game was going, but we kind of hate, you know, in this industry, I hate kind of the, oh, well, if this player didn't get injured, this team would have won. No, I hate that. At the same time, though, it's a good Iowa defense. I don't think it's elite. I think that the defense has lacked the stop this season, and I think that's kind of hung over the fan base a little bit, right? Because people have said, look, you look at across the board, Iowa statistically is very good defensively.
Yeah.
But they also don't have the Cooper DeJean. They don't have the Jay Higgins. They don't have the All-American caliber players. They have really nice players. But I also think that's cost them when Oregon drove down the field in the final minute and a half, right? When Mendoza, I thought, had his first Heisman moment, you know, 3rd and 10, they completed like a 55-yard slant, catch and run, touchdown. They couldn't stop Iowa State at the end. So I think it's a season of what if more than anything else. But I would also argue, despite the record, guys, this is probably Iowa's most balanced team they've had in 8 or 9 years. Like, the passing offense is atrocious, okay? We all know that. Mm-hmm. But Iowa went from the least athletic quarterback room probably in the history of college football.
It's true.
To now you have a guy that has 12 rushing touchdowns and 13 rushing touchdowns and has scored in every single game outside of the one last week. It really is incredible the way they flipped that script.
Do you ever sit back, Dave, and think about Deacon Hill, who transfers to Utah Tech, doesn't start there. He was a part of a 10-win team at Iowa that won here in Lincoln. Do you ever, like, shake your head and say, how? How did that happen?
Well, let's pay some respect here. He wasn't part of the team. He led the team to a 10-win season.
That's respect. Let's pay some respect.
I'll pay some respect
to Deacon Hill.
You're right.
He did. We are paying respect to Deacon Hill today.
Look, I you guys know I love covering Iowa. I love my job, but I also think about like this, guys. I got paid to watch that team. I couldn't imagine paying to watch that team, like thousands of dollars to watch. What I would argue is the worst offense in Power 4 history,
and they still
found a way to win 10 games.
10 games.
It's unbelievable.
Also, what did you think after the game 2 years ago when Deacon Hill was the quarterback, and then also you had a backup kicker who had never kicked hit the walk-off winner? Were you just like leaving the press box just like in disbelief?
Didn't he just line drive it through?
He just line drive it. Barely made. He hadn't kicked all year. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, so he was actually out of football, but he was obviously a kicker. But he was out of football. He got a call from LeVar Woods late in the summer and said they had a spot for him. And that's how he ended up going to Iowa for that final year. I mean, it's one of those things, like, yeah, it's shocking, but, like, does anything really surprise you in this series anymore?
No.
Like, prior to Nebraska winning in the fashion they did, like, I hate to borrow Stephen A. Smith's line when he talks about the Cowboys, but it's like, what can go wrong will go wrong. And in that game, you know, last year, 2 years ago, doesn't it seem like neither team wanted to win?
It felt like
neither team wanted to win. They were throwing interceptions. The tackling was sloppy. The fans probably were freezing their butts off, didn't want to be there. Iowa's kicker got benched. Kurt Ferentz benched a kicker quicker than he benched a quarterback.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And they won.
Hey, speaking of Ferentz, are they – I mean, is this – what's the conversation like with Kirk Ferentz? He's 70 years old. Is this it? I mean, what do you got? Okay, you're a media member. What is your – how are you handling all of this?
It's
Hey, guys, Jake Sorensen. Hair loss is not just about hair. It's about how you feel when you look in the mirror. Hims helps you take back that confidence with access to simple, personalized care that fits your life. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. There's no hidden fees, no surprise costs, just real, personalized care on your schedule. Think of Hims as your digital front door that gets you back to your old self with simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for real health concerns all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/earlybreak. That's Hims.com/earlybreak for your free online visit. Hims.com/earlybreak. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You'll discover presents that feel meaningful and personal, never rushed or last minute. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, so every gift feels special and thoughtfully chosen. For example, I just got a Miami Dolphins whiskey board that fits my bar perfectly in my basement with four glasses for tasters when friends come over. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers and sports fans to foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. You'll find unforgettable gifts that are anything but ordinary. Every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3.1 million to date. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Interesting. And again, this might be a hot take. I know you guys know me well enough. I'm not one to say those things. But
yeah, you're a hot take artist.
I think Kirk Ferentz signs another contract.
Hello.
Before it's said and done. Like, I think Kirk Ferentz is going to be at Iowa for at least another 3 years.
Hello.
Is he 70 right now?
70
years old.
Yeah, he's 70. Okay. So my logic is this.
Okay.
Two things. One, if Brian Ferentz had worked out at Iowa, Kirk would have walked away by now, and Brian would probably be the head coach. I don't think that's crazy to say. Number two, when COVID happened, and the world, you know, the college football world, obviously the world shut down for a few months, right? We didn't know if there was going to be a Big Ten season. Right. My take is this. Kirk went home, sat back without college football, and he said, oh, my God, I have no hobbies. I have nothing to do.
Right.
He wasn't ready for that. So I really think that the few months that Kirk had off with COVID, I think that's extended his coaching career. I really do.
Interesting. Good take. That's got three. He could go three more years. Do you see any slippage? Do you see, I mean, you cover it daily. How do you assess Ferentz and the job he's doing?
You know, I think he's good. I still think sometimes he can't get out of his own way. But at the same time, I've always said this about Kirk. He's willing to adapt. It just takes him a lot longer than everybody else would like Iowa fans would like. Right. But I also think this, it's going to be hard to drive Kirk out from this standpoint. If NIL and the transfer portal were not enough to drive Kirk out, I'm very curious what would be. Because, again, you talked about an old-school guy and the way he operates, his program operates. I think he's done a really good job of delegating and running his team like a pro-style system. Kirk is more like a CEO than a coach at this point. Like, he lets Tyler Barnes, the general manager, director of recruiting, handle all the NIL stuff, all the portal stuff, all the recruiting stuff. You know, Iowa has the Swarm Collective. Yeah, Kirk will explore the portal, but, like, he's going to delegate all the recruiting and a lot of the stuff that just isn't pure football off this play. And I also think he's not going to make a rash decision. The thing that gets him up every single day is spring practice. It's fall camp. It's the pure football aspect of it and teaching the guys. That's what's kept him going this long. But I also think, like you talk about, you know, cognitively or like being able to recall a game from 1981 all the time or a game from 2002 like it's nothing. I mean, he's still as sharp as ever. And frankly, guys, from a media perspective, he really has entered this I don't give a damn era with the media. And it's so great to cover. Oh, I mean, it's just not something you would have predicted 6 years ago.
Okay. Bill?
Oh, that's great. David, Bill Bush, 93.7, The Ticket. Talk to us about this current game and the health of the team. There's a lot of discussion about how healthy you are and who might be a scratch for this game and what your thoughts are with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, a few things to keep in mind. Iowa was way injured in the first half of the year. They've had some good luck recently. But there were four of Iowa's five offensive line stars last week were dinged up. Mm. But Kirk also said Tuesday that they're healthier than they were a week ago. But I'm going to be keeping a close eye on Logan Jones, Iowa starting center, Outland Trophy finalist. Keep an eye on Jennings Dunker and Bo Stevens as well. And then the real kind of game time decision that I've seen and heard from Iowa, it's T.J. Hall, Iowa star cornerback. Again, statistically, he will not blow your mind, but you talk about like a typical Phil Parker story, a guy who's been with the program, really had ups and downs, really struggled early in his career. He's been a relatively lockdown corner for Iowa. So if he's out, look at Zach Luttmer, Iowa's cash, to take over at the defensive at corner, and then Iowa to do some mixing and matching around there. Other than that, Iowa's been pretty healthy here over the last few weeks. Mark Gronowski is near 100%. He's still kind of been battling that knee issue that he had against Indiana, has been powering through that as well. But other than that, like I said, I think Iowa's relatively healthy, but I'm going to be keeping a very close eye on that offensive line.
Hey, now you are, I mean, you cover these games very closely. You're very aware of Nebraska. What about Nebraska impresses you most?
I really think their special teams improvement.
Yeah, but, good
I mean,
point.
The way that they, and again, I mean, I've become accustomed to, you know, special teams play. For God's sake, I watched 4,500 punting yards in a season with Torrey Taylor 2 years ago, guys.
Hey, it was good. He was awesome, though.
But how many times over the last few years has Nebraska lost due to special teams mistakes?
I mean,
countless.
Several.
Yeah. Right?
Several.
I believe two games have flipped in favor of Nebraska this season because of the special teams play. I think that they've been really, really good there. I also think T.J. Lateef is going to be very – I'm really interested in how he does against this Iowa defense because I don't think it's fair to have him kind of – his first home start to be against an Iowa defense. I think it's hard to judge any quarterback against Iowa's defense because of how consistent – they've been over the last few years. But again, I think you go back to punting. You go back to special, you know, the return game. You talk about field goals. Like, Nebraska is night and day better on special teams than they were last year. And I also think their corners have been really, really good this year as well. I obviously, the run defense has been the big issue. That's the big matchup to watch for me in this one. But I would really look at Nebraska's secondary, especially in coverage, and then I look at Nebraska's special teams.
Last thing, David, if you talk to Husker fans, they are not very optimistic about this game. A lot of people don't believe they're going to win. It could be a seventh straight loss to the Iowa in Lincoln. Are you feeling the same way regarding this game today?
You know, this game has weird feel written all over it, and I feel stupid almost picking anything other than a walk-off field goal just because of everything that sort of happened, right? I think the biggest disadvantage for Nebraska is their inability to stop a quarterback run and to stop the outside zone.
Yep.
And I think that's been really plaguing them. I think you look at Iowa goes four deep at running back. Iowa probably has the most unique running quarterback in college football. I think he reminds me, his run style reminds me of Tim Tebow. Kind of runs like a fullback more than an actual quarterback. Like, he doesn't glide, you know, like a Terrell Pryor or, you know, all those other backs. Like, Mark Gronowski will run over a linebacker and he'll put his shoulder down. That's exactly who he is. But just given the way the series has unfolded, it's hard for me to pick Nebraska just because Iowa's won 9 of 10. Mm. But I also think Nebraska is long overdue for a win in Memorial Stadium. And I'm very curious from this standpoint. I think Iowa, to some degree, has broken Nebraska psychologically because of the fashion that they've won in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Sip, I saw Sip's column. I know he got some heat for it. Mm-hmm. I thought you hit it dead on, Sip, about the way Nebraska fans should be approaching this game. It's going to be interesting, but right now I probably do lean Iowa just because they're not going to throw the ball all over Nebraska. They should run the ball 45 to 50 times, and it's going to be up to Nebraska to stop Mark Gronowski and stop the outside zone. If that happens, then I think Nebraska has a good shot.
Okay.
It's a big if. Yeah, Jake. David, thanks for the time. Hey, enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Hey, I appreciate you guys.
Hey,
thanks, man. Take care, guys.
That was great awesome. Job.
David Eichel, 24/7 Sports, the Iowa Hawkeyes insider.
He's the insider. He's the guy.
He brought some juice.
He had some funny stuff, too. Good. I love humor. Dude, I love humor.
I know you do.
I do. This guy made me laugh.
He brought the juice.
Brought the juice, David.
Outside zone QB run. That's a big. That's definitely a big part.
And
of
I agree with what he said also too. Like, because I was always like, it's not really a rivalry because it's been going for like 12 years or whatever. How many times you go through the noted rivalries? If we get to Ohio State, Michigan. Well, how long have they been going at it? Well, 10 years now. It's like no, they've been going 150.
I know, It's weird.
It's kind of weird. But yeah. I do think that there is. That both sides have turned their keys, and maybe not a rivalry, but they both dislike each other.
Oh, God, yes.
At a high level, and that makes it very interesting.
They do dislike each other.
There's not a time like right now. I mean, right now, does Nebraska go like, if I see an Illinois fan, I'll lose it.
Nope.
I will lose it.
No.
So maybe if Purdue walks in here, I will fight him.
Nope.
But Iowa, yes.
Yes.
So it's becoming a real rivalry, and I like that.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to ask him, but... You know, Iowa doesn't have a signature win either. They don't have a win that has any sort of merit.
You know what, though, Bill? Here's the thing that I'd look at. This had nothing in it. They had a three-game stretch in October that really gets your attention and should really get your attention if you're a Nebraska fan, because two of the games you'll understand. They beat Wisconsin 37-0, number one.
When things were a mess there. And
they were, but they still. 37-0. That's a Wisconsin team that just beat Washington and Illinois.
Back to pass.
37-0. They did beat Penn State. Okay, so they...
By one, yeah.
They won. Beat Penn State, a Penn State team that just flexed on Nebraska. And then they beat Minnesota 41-3. Iowa beat the team, two teams that flexed hard on you, Iowa beat.
Yep.
That's a good stretch. 41-3. I don't care. Minnesota's not
great.
Can't
fight it. I'm with you.
41-3 is that's a power play right there. So those games are the ones that concern me the most as you size up this.
Sure.
They hammered.
I think I just
hammered.
I keep going
Minnesota.
Back to I can't unsee the Michigan State game. I watched
I know,
the whole thing.
I know.
I'm just
that's
like,
the most recent.
I'm
just
like the most recent. I'm so
and
big
it has
on recent.
To matter.
And I'm watching it going like, I don't even know what this is.
Right.
And they were at home on senior day.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
but anyway, but the other stuff is factual and correct.
Yes. Before we get to break, the three words, Bill,
yes.
You don't want to hear.
What was it?
Yes. Sorry.
I've been hacked.
Apply and connect. They can help you here in all 93 counties of the state. Free consultation available at appliedconnective.com for managing all things cybersecurity and IT. Appliedconnective.com. When we come back, last segment, we got FSPs, we got Bills, Thrills, we got WWE.
We got to hurry.
We got to get to it.
Chop, no that's, days off for Applied Connect.
No, that's next, an early break in the ticket.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.